I literally just, like, I just can't even, I'm in shock right now. We, as a whole senior class, have never had a real graduation because of COVID first, which we thought was, like, a one-time thing. Like, we're the class that got screwed over. It is what it is. Unlucky. Now, USC just canceled it. They just canceled our freaking graduation. Like, what now? What now? They sent out an email 10 minutes ago about how they know it's disappointing, but they're canceling it, and they're going to have other fun events, which I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, there you go. One of the many, many disappointed voices of students. That young woman from USC, you know, responding to the cancellation of graduation ceremonies, which those in charge are doing because they have no cojones to stand up to the hate-fueled protests that you've been seeing ravaging American universities. Like, just all week, just hate and threats and breaking laws, and it's they accommodate it. Oh, we'll just cancel everything, right? Just let these people still go, right? And we see a lot of the same hate here, certainly at our universities. We're not seeing these big protests, not yet. I certainly hope we don't. But we've certainly seen enough in the last 7.5 months to know what's going on here on our school campuses. And now a Jewish student at the TMU, that's Toronto Metropolitan University, is suing the school for failing to ensure a safe and respectful learning environment. Allegations include, you know, that pro-Palestinian protests on campus and statements posted by students online since Hamas's attacks on October 7th have led to a poisoned anti-Semitic atmosphere. And so this is a $1.3 million lawsuit, basically, you know, putting at the feet of TMU administration. Look, they failed to enforce almost a dozen university policies that commit to the health and well-being of students. And that's supposed to mean all students, right? Apparently it does not. But, you know, they've got an entire website at that school devoted to microaggressions, but somehow those microaggressions don't include the students who go out and chant violence-inciting, hateful Jewish slogans. So there is a cancer taking root in this country, certainly across North America, and it's all under the guise of freedom of speech and charter rights to protest. But we're on, I think, a real dangerous fine line. Let's bring in David Rosenfeld, partner in Kosky-Minsky's class action department, also the lawyer on this particular suit. Thanks so much, David, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Not the first suit. I know that there are other suits that are starting to pop up, you know, in school campuses. But certainly, I think, you know, here's the test where we're, you know, going to test where the freedoms to carry out hate trump one's right to live in peace. You know, we have to have these battles.
Yes, I think we need to focus specifically on the university context, because when we're talking about free speech, when a student enrolls in a university, particularly TMU agrees to provide many things, including education, but those students, in addition to paying tuition, agree to abide by certain rules of conduct while they are students. They agree not to engage in intimidating, offensive, demeaning, threatening, harassing, and all sorts of other unwanted conduct to others in the TMU community. And if they do, they are supposed to face consequences. They are accountable for their actions and statements with respect to other TMU students. You can't just do or say anything and not face consequences when you're a student at TMU. Mm-hmm. You know, the plaintiff thought that TMU would abide by its, I guess, contract and enforce its policies that it requires all students to abide by, but it doesn't seem that TMU is doing so with respect to conduct involving Jewish TMU community members.
So the $1.3 million suit, what is that for? Is it the fact that students aren't getting the education that they're paying for? They aren't getting the protection? You know, people will say, well, why 1.3? And so what is the hope here?
Yeah, I think the real goal is to affect change, right? So the court system is somewhat limited in what it can order, which is typically monetary compensation. So that monetary compensation is in smaller part related to the impact that this environment has had on Nikki, the plaintiff, mm-hmm. which has been significant. You know, I can imagine being the fear and intimidation that she has had to go through for the last 7 months. But in addition, is seeking what we call punitive damages, which is really, you know, a sort of behavior modification kind of a request. Say, hey, this conduct is so egregious by TMU that we should try and levy some measure of sanctions so that they are incentivized not to do this or to stop this behavior going forward.
Yeah, you know, we're 7.5 months into this, and I keep thinking, okay, today's the day that this kind of stops, or it's called on, or it's shut down, and then it doesn't. And when I look at TMU, for example, because it's not the only university where we're seeing this kind of hate, we've seen it across the board. But certainly, I have to think that these students, including your client Nikki, have gone to the administration and talked to them about this and asked them to take steps to deal with this. And yet, time and time again, we see emails or we get letters showing the actions of the administration, which are firmly on the side of the protesters.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki has specifically told TMU about her concerns and about various issues that she has faced. Other students and student organizations have advised TMU about these particular issues. The Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs has certainly done so. And at least to Nikki, it appears that TMU administration doesn't appear willing or capable of doing something about this environment. It doesn't appear our elected officials are willing or capable to do something about this environment. So Nikki, with the help of the CJ Legal Task Force, has been forced to seek the court's assistance to enforce the rule of law to hold TMU to account and to effect change.
Right. And Doug Ford was certainly asked about funding for universities and colleges and whether or not they need to be investigated for hate. And, you know, he didn't want to get involved in it. He didn't want to get involved in any new legislation that might, you know, demand accountability on this, which I thought was a real disappointing moment, because it's very obvious to see that we've got a very big problem within our universities, I'd say across North America. But this stuff with BDS and this anti-Jewish stuff has been going on for a very long time. And now it's just rising to the surface. And so when, you know, Nikki says she wants change, what is she looking for? What does the change look like? Because in order to root this stuff out, you have to be able to call it out. And I don't get the sense that anyone in charge even wants to.
Yeah, just to go back to a point you were making about you know, governments or government officials not willing to do something. What is Nikki and the other Jewish community members in this city supposed to do?
Yeah,
I mean, if elected officials aren't doing, I mean, administration that they have sort of paid tuition to go to school for aren't going to, they have to go to court. That's our next step to do something about it. And now, what kind of change is trying to be effected? Well, simply put, to have TMU follow its own policies.
Right. Right.
TMU states that diversity, inclusion, and the well-being and dignity of all its community members are fundamental to the university, and has detailed policies prohibiting the kind of conduct we talked about. You mentioned it in your opening. You know, yet the administration doesn't appear willing or able to apply its policies. They seem to be, you know, to Mickey's perspective, it appears that TMU's conduct policies are mere token statements that are not actually applied. So I think it's pretty basic what is being asked, which is to actually implement the policies and create this, you know, safe learning environment that is promoted at TMU on their web pages and in their policies.
Yeah, I mean, the shtick of hate has no place here is just it's got to be erased, because it's clearly here and people are clearly comfortable with it. But there's a bigger problem here, I think, other than the hate, and that is that, you know, you send your kids to school, you want them to get educated, right? And now I don't know what the kids are being educated with, other than a lot of extremism and activism and ideology. But, you know, there's a loss of education across the board. You heard the young woman off the top out of the United States, you know, she just wants to go to a grad ceremony, right? Like, these kids are being interrupted from a normal and what should be a big growth period in their life for education and becoming who they want to be. And so how do you get that education back? Has this completely disrupted Nikki and other students, education?
I think it's a deeply challenging environment at TMU, frankly, from what I have heard from Nikki and from other students, in particular their law school. It is a very challenging environment to get the education they require. And it's ironic because, you know, you can have disagreements or make political statements. You can have rallies and seek whatever political changes you want. But the words that you use and the actions that you take conveying those messages matter. And you can do that without being intimidating or harassing. You can do that without calling for violence. You can educate yourself at school about how to do those things. You don't need to use the catchy and cheek slogans of the day. You can try and educate yourself and articulate your message in a way that fosters respectful debate and discussion. And that simply is not happening, at least with respect to TMU.
Just quickly before I let you go, David, I mean, there's these things can take time to go through the courts, obviously, and maybe it'll be a wake-up call to the university, which, I mean, I don't think this is the first time they're hearing about lawsuits, but this could take a while. And so we don't necessarily will see any change. And that is going to catch students like Nikki in the mix. And will there be a point where she might have to drop out if this doesn't get rectified?
The thought has crossed her mind many times. And, you know, for her, she's in a third year of a 4-year program. What's she going to do now? Yeah. Right? I mean, it's The answer cannot be, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go to school anymore. Yeah. But that just is you know, defeatist response, right? If it takes a while to do this in court, then it takes a while to do this in court. But Nikki is certainly not giving up simply because it's going to take some time.
Yeah, no, sadly it has to come here, but a lot of people standing, too many are sitting, but we'll watch this one as it goes along. David, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Al. Appreciate it.
David Rosenfeld is on this case against TMU, a $1.3 million lawsuit, not the first, and certainly I think we're going to see more of these, because bottom line is, you know, take the Jewish factor out of this. Parents are paying for kids to go to university, and if you're not getting your university education, and you're now all of a sudden going hybrid, that's not what you're paying for. But on top of that, the fact that it has to come to this, that you have to launch this lawsuit to get rid of the overt Jew hate, is just utterly ridiculous. So we'll follow along on what happens there.